Right now, tonight's meditation is taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7 and chapter 12. And I'd like to talk about the ministry of prayer. And I hope that what is shared tonight, you know, will remind us what we're here for. Right? We're here for our prayer meeting, our weekly prayer meeting. Now, I want us to see, you know, how important this ministry of prayer is, right? That will also remind us about the importance of this weekly prayer meeting that we have, huh? So let us begin by reading the passages of scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 7. It says here, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Right? And then we go on to chapter 12. It reads, and all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, for ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside. For then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Now, the one who said all these words here is Samuel, right? Samuel is the judge who led Israel out of a very backslidden state into spiritual revival. Let me just give you, you know, a little bit of the history to show you the contrast between what happened before Samuel's time and what happened during Samuel's ministry. Right? Before Samuel's time, the Israelites were in a really terrible state. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes rather than what is right in God's eyes. They had turned to the idols of Canaan, right? They had turned away from worshiping the Lord to worship these idols, and the worship of these idols often involved very immoral practices. The priests of God at Shiloh abused their power, right, for their own selfish gain. So, you know, they took whatever they wanted from all the offerings that the people brought before the Lord. And Israel was at that time oppressed by the Philistines. And this was actually the longest oppression that the Israelites had during the time of the judges, for it lasted about 40 years. And in this oppression, there were several times that they had battles with the Philistines, but they were defeated. In fact, they lost about 34,000 men in battle, right? And then in one of the last battles, they thought they could win by bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the battlefield with them, right? Thinking that that would give them victory, right? But that was a misplaced trust, because in the end, they lost and the Ark of the Covenant was actually captured. So when you look at all these things, you can see that nothing could be worse for Israel than all these things that had happened before the time of Samuel. But then God raised up a judge by the name of Samuel, and things then began to change. Because under Samuel's leadership, the 300-year period of the judges finally came to an end. And the people repented of their sins, and they turned away from their idol worship. They put away all their idols. And then they began to witness how God's power, you know, is able to deliver the Israelites, even from the powerful oppressors, the Philistines. And a new era began when God began to rule Israel through her kings. So instead of each tribe doing what was right in its own sight, they all came together and became one united kingdom under God. And the first two kings of Israel were anointed. And the one who anointed them was Samuel himself. He anointed Saul and David, right? And then after that, we see that David's kingship became the preview or the type of the ultimate king, that is Christ, right? The coming Messiah of Israel. So when we look at all these things that, you know, was done under Samuel's leadership, how he was able to turn, you know, the whole backsliding nation around, we ask ourselves, what was it that enabled Samuel to do this? What was the secret of his success? The answer is provided in the passages of scripture that we read just a while ago, and that is, it was this ministry of prayer. You see, prayer played an important role in Samuel's life even before he was born. If you read 1 Samuel, you'd see that his birth was actually the result of his mother's prayer, right? And the account is that his mother's name was Hannah. She was unable to bear any children. And so she went to the tabernacle and she cried out to the Lord, asking him to give her a son and also promising that she would dedicate this son for the Lord's use. The Lord would grant her prayer. And so the Lord answered her prayer and Samuel was born. And so Hannah kept her promise that when Samuel was old enough, she brought him to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was at the time, to begin his life of service to the Lord. So now we come to the main lesson that we want to learn from the passage that we read, and that is to see that Samuel's ministry was marked by one thing, faithful praying. And this is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5, where Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." Right? That is the, you know, the command that Samuel gave and the assurance that, you know, when they were all gathered together, he would pray for them. And the result of this prayer that Samuel made was tremendous. When the Philistines heard that the Israelites were gathered there, they also wanted to take advantage of the situation, so they came against Israel. And the Lord thundered with a great thunder upon them, and they were smitten before Israel. Right? So in other words, the people actually did not have to fight at all. Right? The Lord is the one who defeated their foes for them. The victory was so great, and it was so unexpected that the Israelites set up a stone as a memorial, right, of this great event that, you know, was unprecedented. And the stone was called Ebenezer, or Stone of Help. And this stone served to remind them of this message: hitherto hath the Lord helped us, right? Or to put it another way, the Lord has helped us until now, right? All the way. And this brings us to the question, what was it that made this victory possible, right? We can trace the origin to the faithful praying of Samuel. Now, so it was actually the prayers of Samuel when he asked the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered his prayer. But you see, Samuel did not stop praying, because 5 chapters later, we see that the people asked him to give them a king, right? And Samuel knew that there was something not right about their motive for why they wanted to have a king. And so he knew that it was actually because they were rejecting God's rule as their king over them. And though Samuel had to rebuke them for doing this, he still continued to pray for them. In other words, he was committed to pray for them no matter what, right? Whether they were right or not so right. And this is what he said: "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Now, we ask ourselves a question, right? We have seen that Samuel's ministry is marked by faithful praying, but how do you think the people of that time regarded his prayers, right? And from the passage that we read, you can see that the Israelites actually place great value on Samuel's prayers for them. And this can be seen in both passages. Chapter 7, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And then 5 chapters later, they said unto him, "Pray for thy servants unto the Lord that we die not." Right? This time it was a prayer that the Lord would forgive them for their sin of asking for a king for the wrong reason. So just to summarize everything that we have seen, from these passages we have learned that prayer played an important role in Samuel's life. We have learned that his ministry was marked by faithful praying. we have learned that his prayers resulted in God's help as well as God's forgiveness. And we also have learned that the Israelites put great value on Samuel's prayers. But I want to also now go on a bit further to expand this, to show us that Samuel's ministry was not the only one in history that was marked by prayer. If you were to look carefully in the scriptures, you'll see that prayer was also the mark of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And that can be proven quite easily. Just look at the epistles that Paul wrote, right? To the Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. When he wrote to the Romans, right at the very beginning, he says that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, right? And then when he wrote to the Ephesians, he said that he ceases not to give thanks. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. To the Philippians, he said, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. And then to the Colossians, he wrote, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. To the Thessalonians, he wrote, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Right? So from this, you can see, you know, that Paul prayed regularly for all the churches that he had established or that he had contact with. And so you can see that, you know, prayer was a very important part in Paul's ministry, right? And he put great value on it. And I'm sure that the people he wrote to also valued his prayers a lot. Paul also prayed not only for churches, but for the people he discipled, the people who pastored some of the churches, right? Like Timothy, as well as Philemon, right? And besides Paul, prayer was also the mark of the other apostles. Right, and this is one thing that you can see in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 6, the apostles, when they were faced, you know, with the growing demands of the ministry that were threatening to take their time away, you know, from the ministry of the word and prayer, you know, told the congregation, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, right? So he says, please, you know, elect seven men, you know, to do this work of serving tables, because we cannot, you know, give up this ministry of prayer, right? We have to give ourselves to this, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And thus we have seen that prayer was the mark not only of Samuel, right, of the ministry of Samuel, but also of the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the ministry of the other apostles. Now, more importantly than this, we see now that prayer was also the mark of the ministry of our Lord himself, the ministry of Christ. How do we know that? John chapter 17 records the high priestly prayer of Jesus for his disciples. And this was on the night when he was betrayed, right? That means before he went to the cross. And then we see that in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, Jesus prayed for Simon Peter because he knew that Peter was about to be sifted or tried as wheat by Satan. So Jesus told Peter, but I have prayed for you, right? And then in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we see something that should bring us a lot of comfort, that Jesus is still praying for us. In other words, prayer is still a very important part of his ministry, even right now in his ascended state at the right hand of God. He has never stopped praying for us, as Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so I submit to you that if you want to be more and more like Christ, you will also pray more and more like Christ, right? And you'll also be more and more involved in the ministry of prayer for others. So how can we apply tonight's lesson? Let me just say this, right? Business corporations, you know, will always emphasize on things like strategic planning, you know, and exercising foresight, analyzing the market, you know, in order to succeed. Nations will prosper by focusing on building up, you know, human resources and a stable government to govern the nation. But the Church of Christ is different. The Church of Christ can only accomplish its work with prayer, because the church depends on God for all the power it needs, for all the success, for all the resources, right? God is the one who provides everything for the church to accomplish its work. And that's why we need prayer. You know, in our Sunday sermons, we have been doing a series on the book of Acts. And the book of Acts actually records how the church grew from a small group of disciples into a huge movement that turned the world upside down. So how did they do this? Well, it was all actually done through prayer. And if you go through the book of Acts, you can count at least 30 times in the book of Acts where prayer is mentioned. So in view of all this, let us consider prayerless service as a sin, following what Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So let us make prayer our priority, right? This is a ministry that any one of us can engage in. You know, even those of us who are homebound and cannot get out of our homes to serve in church or do anything, there's one thing that we can all do, and that is the ministry of prayer. So let us, you know, be fully committed to pray and be like Samuel or like the Apostle Paul, be men and women who are fully committed to pray for the Lord's work, for God's people, and then be able to see how the Lord works marvelously through prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you'll take these words that we have just heard from 1 Samuel, as well as from other examples, that the ministry of prayer is indeed something that is so important, and yet it is so much undervalued and as well as neglected in this present time. And we pray, O Lord, that we will be able to see how good it is to be able to come every Tuesday night here to the prayer meeting in order that we may intercede both for our church as well as for our fellow brethren who are in need. And so, Lord, may you give us this confidence that all our prayers will be heard and will be answered in thine own good time and according to thy perfect will. We look forward, O Lord, to great and mighty things that thou would do in our midst, even through the prayers that are made tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.